Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
I actually meant to say this morning, good morning, girls and boys, because I like to put the girls first on occasion. But we'll get another day at doing that. Let's turn, please, to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. And, as you will probably have learned listening to me, having turned to Psalm 110, we're going to read from the New Testament. We're going to read from Mark chapter 5, just a few verses, and then we'll go back to Psalm 110. Just a few verses in Mark chapter 5. You've already turned it up, and I am only starting to turn to Mark chapter 5. Yes, here I am. And we begin at verse 1. There is information here in this passage that I want you to notice. You might never have noticed it before, and I would say that's true of a lot of people who read this passage, but we're going to notice it today. Verse 1, and they came, that is the Lord Jesus and his disciples, and they came onto the other side of the sea, onto the country of the Gadarenes. And I visited Israel, which I did 12 years ago, and it seems only like yesterday. We stayed in a hotel on the shores, right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, not too far away from Capernaum and that region. And we could look across the sea to this part of the world that's spoken of here, the country of the Gadarene. And mind you, when you're standing looking out across the sea, you cannot but think of the Saviour on this occasion sailing out, because there are still small boats, sailboats on the Sea of Galilee, and just like what it would have been in the day of the Savior. So, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He was possessed of the devil, and as is the desire of the devil, the poor man was driven mad. He was out of his mind. He didn't act in a normal fashion. So abnormal was his behavior. They tried to chain him, but they couldn't. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder, broken by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was a completely wild person. You couldn't have gone near him. You would have been in danger of your life. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. The devil doesn't make you happy. Don't you ever forget that. When he sets before you something that he tells you, look, this is lovely, you will really enjoy this. This is what will be the outcome. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he caught sight of him immediately, in the distance. He ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, I charge thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. It was the man's voice, the man's mouth, but it was the old spirit within that was forming these words of pleading, because the Savior was casting out the demon, and the demon was saying, what now? What's going to happen to me now? And he asked, the Savior asked, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he, that's the demon, besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. Now, Psalm 110. Psalm 110, and our little verse, first verse, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool." This is an age, the day in which we live, in which the enemies of the Lord are allowed, permitted, given leave to oppose God. They're allowed to oppose God. God could, at the clap of his hand, destroy every one of them. Every wicked person in the world. But God doesn't. He allows them to continue in their wickedness. Although I do believe he puts a limit on it. That is, he doesn't allow them to go as far as perhaps they might like to go. But nevertheless, wicked men are permitted by God to act in defiance of him and in disobedience of him. Listen to me now. That's why you are allowed to do wrong things. That's why you are allowed to do wrong things. Say wrong things. Think wrong things. Do wrong things. God could cut you off. But this is a day in which God, and it pleases him to do this, for the furtherance of his own purpose. He has a plan. And part of that plan includes the allowing of men today to defy him. Now, did you notice in the passage that we read, the demons that were in this man, this poor man, and driving him mad, and which would have carried him to hell had not the Lord intervened, the demons are cast out by the Lord Jesus, and they make a request. And basically, they were saying, don't send us away into damnation. Don't send us away into everlasting punishment. And the Savior gave them their request. They said, let us instead enter into these swine, this herd of pigs. And the Lord allowed them. And it comes to my mind that it's very possible. And I can go no further than that, I suppose. It's very possible that those very demons that were in that man are still loose today because it was not the Lord's will. And right up until now, it's still not his purpose to overthrow all who are in opposition to him. This is a time when the enemies of God are allowed a certain freedom. That's what's taught us in our verse 1. Of the psalm, the Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool. The Lord Jesus is sitting now, waiting for the Father to act and bring the enemies of the gospel into submission. He's waiting. And I tell you, if you understand the scriptures and understand the great purpose of God set forth in them, you too will be waiting for that day. What a day it will be when the enemies of God are reduced to a footstool. Reduced to a footstool. You're sitting on a chair this morning. That chair is under your control. It's serving you. It's keeping you up from the floor. And it's comfortable. Well, that's what the Lord's going to do with his enemy. Make them serve him and acknowledge him. Now let me tell you this. I believe there are a few people in this world who know this to be so. Who know that this is a day in which God has allowed his enemies to act against them. Very few people understand. It was observed by a wise man many, many years ago that most people think that this is a day in which the words uttered by the angels at the birth of Christ are in force universally. You remember what the angels said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As you grow older, you'll hear those words quoted many times. And people are under the impression this is a day of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, it's true that under the gospel, that is the experience of some, those who believe the gospel, those who embrace the words of the Lord Jesus, they find peace on earth and God's goodwill toward them. But the world doesn't accept the gospel, even though it claims this blessing foolishly. They have no peace and there's no goodwill by God toward wicked men. No, This is an age of sorrow to a very large degree for the child of God. They live amidst sorrow and affliction and opposition and trouble. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 8, I wrote a series of articles on this very verse, said to his disciples in answer to their question regarding when he would come again and what signs would there be of his coming again. He says, well, before I come again, there have been many sorrows. And he described certain things and he said, these are but the beginning of sorrows. Beginning of sorrow. When David was anointed king, that was a lovely thing to happen to him. He's only a teenager. Probably not much older than the oldest of you that are here today. But he was chosen of God and set aside to be king of Israel. And he was anointed by Samuel. But there began, almost from that moment in David's life, a period of real affliction. Yes, he had the victory over Goliath. And for a time he was hailed as a great conqueror and a wonderful soldier and everything else. But that very celebrating of David's victory aroused jealousy, especially in King Saul. And poor David became like a wild creature hunted by Saul. He said he was like a partridge. Now you have probably never seen a partridge, but there was a time when they were pretty plentiful and men would go out on the mountains with guns and flocks of them would rise up out of the heather and they would shoot them because they were good eating. And that's what David said. I'm like a partridge. I'm chased out of my hiding place and I fly away for a distance and I drop down again and I hide. But the enemy comes after me again, I have to flee yet more. And that's how it was with David. Time of sorrow. And in this age in which we live, that's the way it is for the child of God. Oh, the enemy is still very active. God hasn't suppressed, put down, trampled under his feet his enemies. It serves his purpose to allow them. Oh, they don't realize it. They don't realize it. I've often read articles or statements, report of wicked men saying the vilest things about God and the gospel and the Lord Jesus and they have a big smile on their face as they say it. And I thought, you don't know, but God's allowing you to do that. He could shut your mouth in an instant if he so desired. But he's allowing you to say all that. And he has a reason for it. We'll not go into the reasons this morning, but perhaps I might suggest to you so that you can in your own mind follow it up. The Lord allows the enemy to act in order to test you. How will you react? When Goliath roared out his challenge, the men of Israel were all trembling and hiding. That wasn't the action they should have engaged in. What they should have done was what David did. David was indignant. Who is this man? Cursing God and defying the armies of Israel. Who is he? Is nobody going to stop him? I'll stop him. And stop him he did. So God allows the enemy to oppose God as truth and blaspheme and do wicked things to test you. How are you going to react? Are you going to run away and hide? Or are you going to step forward like David? I love the story. I read it when I was very young in the faith. I wasn't long converted. Of an open air meeting run by an atheist, and he was preaching against God. It was in New York, if I remember right. And he was denouncing the Lord and mocking the Lord. And he said, is anybody here going to answer me? Nobody said anything. Then two young girls stepped up and they said, we'll answer you. Ha! You're going to answer me? Well, come ahead, answer me. And the young lassies stepped forward to the front of the crowd, and in sweet harmony they began to sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Hold high his royal banner, let it never suffer loss. And that man was put to confusion by the simple witness of those girls. Oh, the Lord allows the enemy to mouth off in order to test you and see what your reaction will be. You be ready to stand up for the Lord Jesus. Very quickly, I want to say that the devil and wicked men are not suppressed or subdued today, as there will be. If you're saved today, if you're saved, you have a great future. Do you understand? There lies out ahead of you the most wonderful future. Are you saved? Do you ever think about this? There's many times you get excited at the prospect of a particular day coming. You're going somewhere exciting. You're going to receive something wonderful. You're going to see someone special. And as you think about this, you're all excited. Do you ever think of the fact that you're going to heaven if you're saved? Do you ever search the Bible to see what heaven's like, the place to which you're going? You have the most wonderful prospect. And use that big word in front of you. But not so wicked men. Not so the devils or the devil himself. They have a dark, dark time. That's why I read Mark 5, because those demons who were being cast out, they knew what lay ahead of them. And they were dreading that what lay ahead of them was about to take place. They were about to be cast into everlasting damnation. But it wasn't God's time. So the Lord didn't do that, as we read. Men are not subdued who oppose God. The devil is not subdued who opposes God today. 1 John chapter 5. The verse 19 says this, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The picture there is the whole world lying in the arms of the devil, at ease and comfortable. Yes, there is a remnant in this world who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, but by far the majority are opposed to the gospel. Just think of us here, not a large number. Then think of the people that live out there. Most of whom have no time for the gospel. And that's how it is across the world. In fact, there's countries in which you probably would find it difficult to find one Christian amongst the millions of the people who live there. That's how it is today. And God is wise in his purpose in allowing this situation to continue. But one day, it's going to end. One day, the god of this world, the devil, is called the god of this world. In the Bible, because people obey him. Most people. They listen to him. Most people. They follow his instructions. Most people. He's the God of this world. But one day, God's going to deal with them. And all who follow him. And the last thing I want to say very quickly is this. At this moment, as our text tells us, the Savior is sitting at the right hand of his Father, and he's waiting for that day when his enemies will be made a footstool for his feet. Now, they're running about at the minute, shaking their fist in the face of God, cursing God. But there's a day coming, the Lord will gather them up and squeeze them down and make a footstool for Jesus. We have a picture of this presented to us in the book of Joshua. You older ones, you can look up Joshua chapter 10, verse 24. And there we read, and it came to pass, you listen to me if you're not reading, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. These were the Canaanite kings defeated by Joshua. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Can't you see the picture? There's all these kings that they had defeated the armies of. And they were now captive. And Joshua said, bring them here. Get them on the ground. Get them on their faces. And all you leaders of Israel who have led the army of Israel against them, come and put your foot on their neck. Just to show your victory over them. There are these Canaanite kings, their faces in the dirt, humbled, brought down. And those victorious captains with their feet upon the neck. Oh, those kings had been used to people dancing attendance to them, feeding them the most wonderful food, dressing them in the most wonderful robes, carrying them hither and thither and just looking after them. But now they're defeated and in the dirt. And the feet of God's servants are upon their neck. And Joshua goes on And he says, "Fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and be of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." So they could look forward to all of the enemies being brought low, just like us. We can look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus, who is the captain of our salvation, will put his foot upon the neck of his enemies. Can you imagine all the thousands of Israel standing around and watching this? What a joy! They must have been shouting and singing with joy. Now, so will we when the Lord Jesus puts his feet upon his enemies and makes them a footstool. In chapter 11 of Joshua and the verse 23, there is given us the consequences of such a victory, if my memory serves me correctly. Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. The world will rest when Jesus is king. There's no rest in the world today. The poor people of Ukraine would tell you that. No rest. You can't imagine what they are going through. And the foolish soldiers that are obeying the commands of that madman Putin, they're to be pitied, foolish men. They have no rest. They have died in their thousands trying to carry out the madman's command. And across the whole world, there's no rest. But one day there will be. That's how it's going to be for the Lord Jesus and for all those who love him. Let me ask you, do you love the Lord? Are you trusting in him today? Is the Lord Jesus your Savior today? Is he? For if he is, you have hope. If he's not, you're heading for a dark, dark eternity. Oh, flee from the wrath to come. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, bless your word to the boys and to the girls. And if any are not saved, Lord, have mercy on them. Open their hearts, like Lydia's heart was open, so open the hearts of each one today who is not yet saved, and enable them to believe the gospel. Bless our school, all aspects of it, and we thank you for your goodness. Grant your blessing, we pray, upon it continually, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.